dear Dhamma friends, this is time for our day's Dhamma talk. May everyone settle down for the Dhamma talk and give the consent with three times sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Katami tayo dhamma bahukara sappurisa sansevo saddhamma savanam dhammanu dhamma patipattyati ti. Dear Dhamma friends, now we are in a residential retreat, or we can say full time in a meditation program. So we know in our lifestyle, very rarely we get a chance like this to have meditation or mindfulness throughout the day or day after day. So therefore we have to value it, we have to facilitate it, so that not only just mere coming and take part, we have to understand how can and how should one facilitate this precious time. For that, the Buddha, the most qualified person to enumerate that, he says, according to his understanding, there are five ways one can help promote or one can facilitate this kind of a meditation. In a sense, it is a group responsibility as well as individual responsibility. So it is being expressed in the book of five in enumeral gradual presentation, it's what you call Anguttara Nikaya. So I thought of just present the basic idea about these five things that one must take care and then go to the intended topic today. So as far as these five factors, so five things you must know about the facilitating or help promoting of this retreat, the first and foremost thing the Buddha mentioned is you must be restrained moral in your moral sense or ethically restrained. That is, we call precepts. When and where we live in our day-to-day life, hardly we have chances to abide by these ethical rules. So therefore, sometimes we are slack. But when and where you go and take part in a retreat like that, you have to go for a higher ethical values or moral restraint. That is why we take 8 precepts. As far as we are taking 8 precepts, we maintain more than our day-to-day ethical code 5 precepts. We abstain from taking meals, or specifically the staple foods after midday, and we do away with beautification or garlands and scenting and other cosmetic decorations, and completely observe the celibacy. So these are always reminding you are in a retreat. So that is a way you refresh your mind and remind yourself, I am in a retreat. So therefore, first and foremost thing is the precepts. And as we discussed in the question and answer session also, when we are taking a group effort, it's very helpful for one to fit into the group atmosphere as far as we are abiding by the rules and regulations. So therefore it is a first and foremost thing. This is called sila anugrahita, and this one has to restrain that is called moral restraint. The second thing is sutta anugahita, that is what we are doing now here, that is to listen to Dhamma or listen to the teaching of the Buddha so that your mind get refreshed regarding the theoretical understanding, regarding the book knowledge, or listening from others. During the time of the Buddha, that was the only method of teaching. One preach, the other listens. So we all are, in a sense, listeners of the Buddha. That is why we call Savaka. Savaka means that we are listeners. So therefore, we have to allocate some time solely for this theoretical understanding, for this theoretical the book knowledge, and therefore listening also important. That is why in the timetable daily we have allocated 1 hour, complete hour, for the Dhamma talk or the talk on the what are the important things that one must know, or in a sense meditation instructions, or sharing with the knowledge, sharing with Buddha. And the third aspect is the discussion. One has to have kind of a dialogue. So you must have access to ask questions and difficult things and get the clarification then and there. Because in the meditation you come across a lot of new things. When it happens, if there is no any way to rectify, you entertain doubts, and that will be a great hindrance. So therefore in order to get rid of that, the discussion is very important. And the interesting thing in this teaching of the Buddha is he is openly invite each and everyone to not to accept anything without inquiring, if you don't only merely by faith or superficial faith. And questioning is not a criminal offense. You can question anything, and it is, if you are accepting without questioning, you will never progress. You will never have a radical idea, radical reflection. So therefore discussion is very important. So not only the moral restraint, not only the listening to Dhamma and learning, but also must discuss. So this is the way you facilitate yourself. With this kind of knowledge only, you practice in the sense of concentration meditation. Therefore, even though you have thoroughly aware of the theoretical understanding, or even though you listen to Dhamma in a regular way, or even if you do discussions and dialogue, if you are not practicing as such, if you are not putting them into practice as such for the concentration, the progress will be hindered. And the last one is not only the concentration, further you have to develop inside meditation, that the wisdom may be it's a result of your concentration, but that also must be in your list. The last one, the way of facilitating and help promoting your retreat. So that is why we have agreed upon a timetable, and we all abiding by it, thinking this is the best way we can make you this time to be moral or moral restraint, and to refreshing our knowledge by listening to Dhamma and discussing whatever the theory or practical thing pertaining to our meditative life. And individually we are sitting and meditating. There also the sitting meditation is more towards concentration or serenity. The meditation or contemplation or mindfulness in other activities, developing mindfulness in other activities, not only help promote serenity and the concentration, it open windows for wisdom, for practical aspect that is called vipassana. That is how we are going to make use time. So having said that, we have selected special topic for this particular meditation retreat, and I got the quotation from one of the discourses of the Buddha known as Dasuttara Sutta. If you are interested in finding references, you may go to the Digha Nikaya, that is long sayings, and that is the last discourse. It was a very long one. I took one aspect of it. As far as the Dasuttara Sutta as such, it's a kind of a compilation, it's a kind of a graphic presentation or tabulated presentation during the time of the Buddha. And Venerable Sariputta took pain to accumulate all the knowledges, all the discourses in a gradual way and put that into a graph or a table 10 by 10. The first 10 questions pertain to the single aspects. Second questions are pertain to the 2 points aspects. Third one is for the 3 points, 4 points, 6, 5 points, like it's going to the 10 points, and is asking a series of questions and himself giving the answer. Is the first time ever in the human history the epistemological study done to present in a complete comprehensive way. That means Venerable Sariputta is having such a foresight. At that time there were no any recording systems, there were no any writing system, there were no any literature presented in a firm way. So only way is by heart and teaching the teacher to disciple, and therefore there are a lot of chances to lose some aspects. That's why he presented it in a graphic way or in a tabulated way. If there are anything missing, at least one can understand something missing. That's very important. That is why Venerable Sariputta has been so honored. He was thinking in time to come, whenever something going to lost, at least one can understand the damage, how much it is being done. And not only that, if you study the Pali Canon, that is the formal teaching of the Buddha, there are a lot of other ways you can compensate it. So that is how he presented it. And later, after the great demise of the Buddha, all the disciples, the great disciples, enlightened disciples, took number of synods or conferences to make sure every teaching, every aspect of teaching is not being lost, and it is being continuous. And Venerable Sariputta's skeleton or the way of presentation was, they have taken as the rule of thumb or methodology. So therefore Venerable Sariputta recognized as the treasurer, the general of the Dhamma. He can command. He is in command of Dhamma because he knows how is the gradual presentation. So Dasutra Sutta in that sense is very important one. I selected the book of 3 and the first question. Venerable Sariputta is asking, Katame Tayo Dhamma Bahukara. And first he says, he asked the question, what are the 3 things that is much helpful for a practitioner or for a Buddhist mendicant? And he asked, what is the single aspect helpful? He's asking, what are the 2 aspects helpful? And now here in the book of 3, he's asking, what are the 3 aspects most helpful for a practitioner? That means person like us. And then he gives the answer, these are the three things. First and foremost, he mentioned that is association with noble friend or intercourse with noble-minded person or true person. That is so important. The Buddha himself phrased it. He says that way of life outside world is always having universal problems creating day by day, but the worldings have no any way out. They know they are leading to chaotic life, but no way out, because mostly we are associating not so much of noble people, we are associating people with lack of morality, lack of knowledge, lack of practice, and not concerned about the things as they are. They are rather perverted in their minds, and they are cheating. They are with a lot of agenda. That is why many are easy to associate, but they are not leading anyway, rather they are misleading. Under such circumstances, if you do not know whom to be associated, you are utterly at lost. Of course, at the beginning, to the face value, you feel socialized, you feel forward, you feel manneric, you feel everything, but at the end, you have to suffer a lot. In order to not to have that kind of a way, the Buddha prescribed, and Venerable Sariputta is reminding us, association with the noble friends, true person, and the noble-minded person. That is the topic I thought of taking time as the topic of the day. Just to enumerate the balance is Saddhamma Savanam. While associating, you have to listen to true Dhamma or the truth. And the last one is not only association with the good friends, listening, but you have to practice. You have to put into practice. Dhamma anu dhamma patipada. And with the first one, as far as the association with the noble friend, associating with the true person is concerned, the Buddha is the first and most complete person if he can associate with. So the Buddha not only prescribing association with the good friend, but he himself exemplify, give a role model for a good friend. But you see, now we are more than 2,600 years, of course 2,550 years delayed when compared with the comparative time of the Buddha. So therefore, it may be a reason to be regret if we are only expecting the Buddha, that's a supreme example. So therefore he says, if the Buddha is not available, any enlightened being, fully enlightened being, can fairly lead another person. So therefore you must understand, if available, in the sense if the Buddha is not available, please find another fully enlightened being. And if that is not available, see other enlightened beings. And if it is not available, see virtuous person. Likewise, you must always try to see another person more virtuous than you. That is the way we make it positive. Otherwise, in the traditional Buddhist, whenever they have been preached or prescribed to associate good friends or noble person, or true person, they say, I am sorry, today we don't have such. So therefore they take the excuses, they make it as an excuses, not necessary to meditate, not necessary to be a Buddhist, because nowadays no good role models like. But if you read or if you study it in a practical, pragmatic sense, what the Buddha mentioned is, find another person better than you, virtuous than you, and then while associating, his prime duty is to lead further into still a better person, So that is the way you can understand whether your first selection is good. When I am associating with my teacher soon after the ordination, he never boasts, telling, I am the best person, no, I am better than you. He says, you selected to associate me, and it is my duty to lead you to still further, still good person, so that your endeavorance is not at lost. You'll be slowly, slowly leading to highest noble person, and therefore it, you may understand, cannot happen overnight. You can't conclude by associating a person, he is the best person and I must get it in an accelerated program. That is not the way. You have to associate again and again and see whether that particular person is leading you for a higher association. So soon my teacher passed away after 2-3 years after the ordination. In a discussion, he hinted me that there was a very good master in Burma, and he never pinpointed me, but in the general discussion came to me. Soon after that, I went to Burma and was so lucky to have at least 2 teachers in this single life. My teacher Venerable Jnanarama as well as Upandita Sayado at Burma. Soon I see him, I understood, because he was a younger person and well-versed in Pali grammar and meditation, as well as leading so much of people. Even though it is difficult to associate him, even difficult to get the direct contact with him, he had its own institution, so I went there. So I found it is kind of a leading thing. Whatever the friend you selected, whatever the noble person you selected, and if you do it wholeheartedly, that particular person not only give the grace, but lead you to a further, or help you with the second aspect, giving you more Dhamma, giving you more the truth, or ways to find the truth. So therefore it's a dynamic thing, it's a dialectic thing. So therefore naturally more and more you associate a true person or a noble person, noble-minded person, you become more vigilant. You become more diligent and open-minded to go further. But how to select, how to discreetly understand the noble person, because each and everyone is bragging on the earth. Whatever they are doing, they are telling, I am the best person. You go to any meditation master, they will say, I am the best person. My method is the only method. If you are going to the other method, you are wrong. You have to come here. So it is just like advertisement. Under such circumstances, even though there are a number of options, what to select? It's very difficult. So therefore, ultimately, Buddha himself presented some criterion how to find a good friend. And still I am repeating, even then, it is not a conclusion overnight you can draw. You have to keep on associating. Ultimately, the day you understand the quality of a true person, and as far as you are searching such a person outside, you are utterly at lost. You have to find the qualities, and if it is developing within you in this quest, in this endeavorance, then you can understand. More you acquainted with, familiarized with noble qualities, the world is not such a desert as far as noble friends are concerned. If you are a bad person, if you do not know the qualities of the good person, noble person, you definitely take wrong yardstick and measure people by their richness, by their beauty, by their fame, any kind of thing, ultimately you may find it's an endless game. So therefore one day you may hit the target, and in return more and more when you associate such a good noble person, you must feel you are developing these qualities within you. And this is hitting or meeting with the noble friend, for my understanding, it's utterly natural selection. No one can for sure tell this is the person. But you have to have your trial and error. But anyway, if you know, according to the teaching of the Buddha, if you are believing Buddha, the qualities that you must look into, qualities a noble person should carry, and if you are aware of it and associate with that such a person, not you are chasing behind a person, not you are make attraction with the person, but you are searching for the qualities and attributes, and then it is quite impersonal and is philosophical. Rather, we can see it is scientific endeavorance. So we'll take time to understand what are the attributes, what are the qualities a noble person should have according to the scriptures. The first and foremost thing the Buddha mentioned is piyocha. That particular person must be a attractive person. He must have already developed charisma and socially accepted person, not occult, not mystics, not any the self-torturing kind of thing. He must be already a social being. He must be a piyocha, that means socially accepted person he must be. You are not the only disciple. Already he must have, he should have developed reputation. So that's one of the qualities. So he is already doing his own service, carrying the message. And you can see he is a lovable person, attractive person. Garu is a respected person. He is not just attractive by his beauty, not by his money, not by his just mere fame, but he must already received respect from the society. So that his lovable nature together with his respectful nature indicates that hardly you find these two qualities with one single person. So they are, and bhavaniyocha, third aspect is not only you, even other people already would have recognized him, and he is receiving the loving kindness of other people. That means you are not at risk. You are not the first person. Bhavaniyocha is a person already received the loving kindness and the compassion from the other person, other people. So therefore, by the time you recognize, he should have these three qualities, piyocha, garubhavaniyocha, that means a lovable person, on a respective way, because he is demeanor or the moral restraint is above average of the social level. And people knows, not only you, people knows that is the way you can find out a noble friend. And the fourth quality, vattanja, after accumulating these qualities, he's concerned about well-being of the society, well-being of the world, well-being of the people. So therefore he is daily fulfill his duties towards the well-being of the being, himself as well as the society at large. So it is vattanja, that means a dutiful person. He is not a lethargic person. He is not a hiding kind of a person. He knows his mission and is diligently, he is fulfilling it. Vattanja, vachanakkhamo, as far as he is doing these things, not only he get 100% phrase and fame, some people come and find fault with him and blackguard him and criticize him, but he really understand how to put up with this kind of a criticism. He never vehemently attacked, he never vehemently reacted, but he know he is very patient in under such circumstances. He never expect in the sense, the whole world must follow me, the whole people must praise me. He don't think so. So therefore, vachanakkhama is a forbearance. Whenever the people give the destructive criticism, that's a very nice and very practical aspect. He must not retaliate. He must continue his work, and he expect, not society at large, always ready to phrase him, and that is not the matter. So if you misunderstand, or if you do not become pragmatic and practical, you may think that whole world must be phrase him, my teacher must not be criticized. And whenever the teacher criticizes, if you also going to get angry, disheartened, that means that association is more affectionate, a fictional kind of thing rather than factual. So therefore you may associate him, and your friend may find fault with him, criticize it. But even then, he knows how to put up with such situation, so that when you see the character of the Buddha, there's a lot of incidents where people were not happy when the Buddha was carrying his message, mission. Others get hurt. So ultimately they lost their temper and they personally damaged him and tried to damage him. But he never retaliated the way the enemy is doing. His retaliation, his response was completely like a contented person. And therefore one can understand through this vachanakkhama or the forbearance how much he is contented, how much he is mature, pragmatic. And the next example is Venerable Sariputta. Venerable Sariputta was a kind of a person, carried out so much of duties to the fellow meditators, towards the Buddha and toward the Dhamma, and he was recognized, renowned. You can't disturb him. Always he is having his forbearance, and whatever the people are disturbing him or criticizing, he never get angry, and he says, I am working just like the earth. Anything you put on the earth, some people dig their treasure on the earth, and some people urinate upon that or defecate upon that, split upon that, whatever may be. Earth never get defiled. So just like I am forbearing, it's a very vast thing, no one can destroy it. So likewise he says, Venerable Sariputta himself says, I am just like earth, or I am just like the wind. The wind can take the perfumes, flower smells and bad things, but wind by itself never get disturbed, never get spoiled. So it carries, but whatever it is carrying, quality of the air is the air. The fire also the same. Any firewood or any carcass, anything you put there, it burnt it. But fire is fire. And water, fire, earth, all the elements he give, take it as an example and says, that is the way I do. So it's a very good way of presenting. So that you must understand, his qualities become more prominent when and where he get destructive criticisms. When the people are disturbing him, and present day you can see among the leaders, political, social and economic, they are so much worried about their reputation and a name, So they are very badly get disturbed and attacking the other parties. So therefore, they are short-tempered people. Ultimately, their reputation or their good name is overnight you can destroy if you are strategically planning it. But the way the Buddha explained, the not that you are gaining qualities overnight and you are not losing your good name overnight, that is the way Vachanakkama and Gambhiranca Katankatta, whatever the other people blame or phrase, whenever chance happens, he talk and address and lead people to the profound thing, not trivial thing, not superficial thing. So just to get the cheap popularity, when the time permits, when the person is ready, he knows and then give a profound talk and profound the advices. So that is the way he make use the chance. Whenever someone is happy to follow him, he know the time, he know the place, he know the person, and give a profound talk or profound advice or proposal or project. So you can understand, on top of all the qualities that I explained, he never while away time. He know the appropriate or appropriate technology or appropriate way of associating with the people. Last one, but it's very interesting, he never mislead people. Today you can see people are becoming leaders, always they have agenda. They have either money or fame or gain, whatever may be, therefore they are not worried 100% about the followers, but they are worrying is how much they can exploit them. But the noble friend or noble person never exploit people. So to understand that, it takes years. I can understand as far as I am in this meditation sphere, so much of people make rhetoric and efficient talks and way of advertising going on, and people get attracted, but take so much of time to understand they are in a subtle way misleading people or misusing people. And ultimately, by the time you understand it, you get fed up with all the religious aspects, all the spiritual aspects, because you think the whole world is like that. But if you know, you must associate noble friends, but the responsibility is upon your hand, not on the other person. The moment you give it to the other party, you are at lost. So that is very difficult, unless otherwise you put into practice. When you are putting into the practice, whatever the prescription is going to give, then only you can understand whether this practice is leading to less and less stress, less and less frustration, less and less mental illness, less and less physical illness, then you gain. Otherwise, if you believe out of His grace He will liberate you, out of His grace He will save you, that is the way you become a fool, not associating good friends, but by selecting such a person, you can ruin yourself. And that is happening when you read or whatever may be the spiritual books or sacred books or teachings, it is not lacking any that kind of events throughout the human history. People are misleading others. So therefore, selecting a noble friend is not so easy, but it's very crucial. It's very important. So it's a trial and error. So when I was in Burma, my teacher, Upanita Sayadaw, he says, and many people come in seek of leadership to there, and it is natural. But whenever you go there, He says, if you are not practicing what I am telling in a diligent way, you will never develop these qualities within you. You will not be the attractive person or lovable person. You will not receive the respect of the others. You will never be praised by the others. So when and where you develop within yourself as disciples, then you will understand how difficult on this earth to develop this kind of qualities, even if you get proper direction and the role models. And more you learn profoundly, day by day you understand how much valuable your teacher is. Likewise, more you understand qualities rather than personality or personal attraction, then you understand how to understand normal other person and to praise your teacher, and you will get more and more abiding by him, attracted by him. So he says, if someone is going to say today's world is a desert regarding the noble friend, your mind is a desert. Whenever you are lacking of any qualities, you find world is lack of qualities. Moment you start to gather good qualities, you find world by itself is not so bad. You do not know how to select. That is a selective absorption, selection. It is up to you. So therefore, if you do not know the good and the bad, good and the better, you will always plug into the wrong thing. Then you have to suffer. So before you get plugged into, before you get connected into, you have to give a rational thinking with your common sense. And if you hit the proper thing, through these qualities, through these attributions, you can understand whether it make you happy, less and less frustrated, less and less tensed, and less mental illnesses. And then, not only you face your teacher, you understand there are some other, not may not be like exactly like Buddha or any your first teacher, but there are a lot of other people. That is how moment you start to develop this loving kindness within yourself, you see the world is lovable. Whenever your world is full of frustration, disappointments and disheartening, the world also appears like disappointing and disheartening. So therefore, the teacher, if he is a noble teacher, will teach you world is the world. Your attitude, your approach, or your view, if it is not changing, if it is not open, if it is not radical, you will ever in the same vicious cycle. Instead, understand the human mind is a fully endowed thing. It's a full of possibilities, full of potentials. But if you are not exploring into that, I will simply say by being mindful, then your investment will not give so much of gains. So therefore, the prime object of the teacher is to teach you, give you the key, how to understand your own potential, how to understand your own humanity, how to understand the opportunity in each and every moment. So the key is mindfulness. So when the teacher is teaching you the mindfulness, he is not giving anything. He is just phrasing. Mindfulness is it's a panacea. And at the beginning, of course, you have to take time to understand it. It is painfully slow. But once it is gathered, the momentum, you understand even the mindfulness is a mental concomitant, it make complete refreshment to the mentality and the physicality of the external world. So it is make the world more greener, make the world more diligent, vigilant, as much you become diligent and vigilant. So therefore, whenever you learn this art, how to find a personalized good person, or noble friend, or the true person, you find he reflect your good nature, your noble nature, and he will never discourage you, he will never undermine you, he will never make you inferior, so even though you are in a very bad tempered or bad situation, he or she will let you know you have the total potential. So if you have a new look, have a fresh approach to the next thought moment and try to see something positive way, in a creative way, if you have that kind of opening, definitely in the next moment you will be a reborn, you will be a beginner, you will be rejuvenated, and you feel that your freshness coming from the teacher light. Oh, he is just an example. Teacher is setting a role model and give the key, give the principle, and he is not giving any material, or he is not answering your questions or giving the answers to your question. He is asking you to sort them out through this Dhamma, and ultimately he is catalyzing. Only the catalytic effect he is having, not materialistic effect. No any spiritual grace. You may feel it, but that is not the ultimatum. It's a catalytic effect. Your own potential will go there, and the Buddha indicates, if there is no such a prompt, if there is no such a cursor, if there is no such a catalytic effect, your mentality is utterly inferior. You are cursing yourself. You will never see the potential. So it is like a reflector, as someone is showing, holding a mirror in front of you. If you have the correct perspective, you will see yourself through the teacher's role model. But later, whenever you are progressing, you yourself will see you also can be another true person or a noble person to another person. That is how it is lineage is happening. You are not helping people with grandeur way, but asking them to be here and now. Just it is an endowment or birthright, try. Even if you are in a disappointed situation or an elated situation, try to be here and now, ultimately it becomes infectious. Whenever the noble teacher going to give the true teaching to the inner circle is spreading it to the society at large, because it is just like a bad habit. It's contagious. When and where it is happening, whether it's good or bad, when and where you apply it, or when and where repetitively apply it, the momentum gathers. And when that is happening, you may see that contagious nature never concerned whether the other person is a male or female, and the other person is a Buddhist or non-Buddhist, whether the other person is learned or not, the other person is rich or young, poor, young or old. So that is how the nobleness of this teaching is happening through this noble friend. And at the beginning, when you are searching your noble friend, you may be a desperate person or maybe a disappointed person. But when and where the association happens, you find it is because of your narrow-mindedness. It is because of your attitude, and you yourself do not know your potential, and you do not know the damage of the inferiority complex. And being so rich, being so potential with possibilities, you never try. You never give a radical chance, unless otherwise a catalytic effect. The prompting is happening. So in that sense, the teachers appear like sending you on a risky mission, sending you for the adventurous thing, and giving the moral to go and do it, ultimately understand your own potential. So therefore the Buddha says, whenever you have no association with the good friends, or if you consider this a start starting point, if there is no association with a good friend, whatever you believe is wrong. Because you are believing untestable, unverifiable thing, and it is becoming utterly superficial, unfounded faith, and never think about put into practice. Whenever you associate with a good friend, he also asking the faith, he also making use of the faith, but he says this is verifiable, maybe within few days. Do it again and again, when and where you put into practice. You are the very person, make use of the faith, put into practice, and gain the results, and therefore ultimately you understand the kind of a faith from unfounded, superficial faith to verifiable faith. That is the point where human mind exists. Extraordinary from the other animals. Animals are, they have equal faith. But it is instinctively they are limited. They can't test new things. They are, therefore, their evolution is so slow. But if you associate with a good friend and you have the faith, that is experimenting capacity, of course you are running a risk. Of course you are taking a chance, but there may be a better chances for the accelerated way of gathering the momentum. So therefore, when and where you develop that kind of a faith, faith means that verifiable kind of faith, then your radical reflection, that is risk-lover nature, experimenting nature, is increasing. So that is not religious. Then onward, it is not religious, because religion never allow you to go beyond the boundaries. It always abiding you, but if you associate a good friend, give a kind of a verifiable faith, verifiable experiments, of course within the social norms, and then you are not afraid of put into practice your own quest, noble quest, that is called Yonso Manasikara. That means radically you are ready to reflect upon that. When and where you radical reflection come into being, sometimes some people translate it as a wise reflection, then you see under such circumstances mindfulness is the key factor. You must be here and now, and that is verifiability. So therefore, when and where you do a kind of a radical thing, always keep be aware, it must be here and now, and then immediately you can understand whatever the past mistakes or whatever the past demerit you earn, the next moment is fresh. If you can go open-minded, you can forgive and forget about yourself, and next moment is fresh. So there you find your dragging backlash or your regret or your inferiority is because you are not reflect things radically. You have grudges. You have harboring nature. Whatever you harbor is negative. No good, nothing. Good thing is the next moment is fresh. If you can go into that, that is what you call sampajanya, the clear comprehension, and the very beautiful thing, the relationship the Buddha presenting is, it's a, of course, in a different discourse. When you have that kind of a clarity, you develop moral fear and moral shame. You feel responsibility to the society. You feel when you are hurting the nature, hurting a being, living, or human or other, you see it never go without the consequences. So therefore, when and where you are radically reflecting and understand, clearly comprehend it, you can't exploit it. You can't have favors. It's one-to-one. If you do bad, the bad will happen. If you do good, good will happen. So one-to-one, good begets good and the bad begets bad. you verify with each and every action you do, every thought you do, every word you do, ultimately you feel, you develop the responsibility, not that you are doing a lot of things, not that you are talking a lot of words, not that you are proliferating thoughts. More you do without moral shame and moral fear, you don't know the bad accumulation. So therefore, main thing is, first do no harm. Main thing is restrain, and whatever you do, in accordance with my terminology, bookkeeping. How many things you do, and it is also for the utility value, not for the fun, not for the sake of pleasure, for the utility value, and wait and see what is the consequence. And whenever you are talking, see the utility value of what you are talking about. Whenever you are thinking, which may be happening like proliferating, and at least you may see how much you think volitionally, and how much the involuntary thinking you recognize as myself. That is the starting point of the worries. Whenever you are mindful and clearly comprehend, you see it's a bad habit of the mind. It is thinking, but it is a thought without the thinker. The moment you understand that thoughts are without any volitional or willful or without a thinker, see how much you are worrying and ultimately how much wrong attribution. And therefore, when and where the moral shame and the moral fear come into being, then you can say you are living. Otherwise, you are just a puppet. Otherwise, you are just an animal. You are just with the tendencies, just with the directed dispositions. So you don't know at the end of the day why I am being motivated to do that, and consequences are majority are discouraging, and still tomorrow also you are going to do the same. The moment the moral shame and moral fear come into being, the relationship is, the Buddha says, you are senses, you are eye, ear, nose, tongue, the body, physical, verbal senses you will guard. Not due to fear, not due to the police people come and punish you, not due to your teacher, not due to the parents. But you understand, if at all you to control your senses, it must be backed by this moral shame and the moral fear. Otherwise, whatever you do is quite artificial. You are imitating and no much of benefits. So when and where you feel your own responsibility to the control or restraint, that means you do only the utility part, that is what you call the morality. That is what you call the sealer. Otherwise, even though you appear like a cultured person, even though you perform so-called good things, you don't know the mechanism. You are just following the suit of the society, but no internal inner understanding. So therefore, the mindfulness and the clear comprehension must be beacon light. Must be the verification point. So it is coming from the teacher's example, and unless otherwise you put into practice and feel the results, you will consider the teacher as a spiritual being and expecting the grace and all the magics and all the kind of things. But if the teacher is correct, he or she will lead you to verify within yourself. So therefore, ultimately, you yourself will replace the teacher. You will learn the art, how to do even without the teacher, and that by the time you will be another teacher and you will be a leading light for the society. That is how the most important thing in the meditation retreat as well as the meditative life is, have a role model, have a noble friend, have a true person, and ultimately get infected, and ultimately the grace will continue. You will be just a medium to pass this good message to the rest of the world, and therefore you are not whiling away your time. You are just not merely controlled by the pleasure principle, even though the society at large is following it, not that you are following a torturing method, not that you are going to have a self-mortification, you are also a lovable person and still carry the message. So therefore, these retreats, so their meditation or this kind of a mindfulness is going to give the potential, going to give the reveal the potential, and ultimately you will learn the art where to hit whenever you are associating with another person, but to give the highest benefit, and it is you take example from your own history, and that is how it is going. That is how the message came up to date after even 2600 years. I hope this instruction given in the meditation and the talks and the discussions are helpful for you to sort out your own benefits and for more encouragement and the endeavorance of this venture. And wishing you more and more diligent and mindful practice, I would like to sum up the talk today. Thank you very much for listening. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.